Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Monday, June 22nd, 2026. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by Dan Rubin. So one of the things I want to talk about in today's show, after we pick the one Ohio State player that we would, from yesteryear, that we would love to see on this year's team, is I want to delve into Oregon and replacing both coordinators and promoting from within. Meanwhile, Ohio State retains Matt Patricia, who I think is the best defensive coordinator in college football, brings in Arthur Smith to be offensive coordinator. Oregon lost both of their coordinators to head coaching jobs, and they promoted from within. Promoted the tight ends coach to OC, promoted the DB coach to DC. So we're going to get into that. I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. Like, when I hear people like national analysts talk about it, a lot of people are picking Oregon to win it all, which is fine. But I don't hear many people talk about the fact that they're losing both coordinators. So Dan and I are going to get into that. But I thought we'd have some fun. All right, Dan, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first as far as picking a Buckeye from past years that we would love to see on this year's team?
I'll go. I don't mind going first. I had some real fun with this. Now, all you asked me was that basic question. So before we go any further, let's establish, if we can, some other parameters here. We are assuming that we get the player for an entire season, correct, at full health?
Yeah, and in their prime. So let's say you said you're probably not going to take Archie Griffin, but like you wouldn't take Archie Griffin like in his 70s. You would take Archie Griffin or 60s. You would take prime Archie Griffin. Or if you want to, you know, you can pick.
I did get that part.
Pick Jack Tatum. I mean.
And you get the best of Jack Tatum.
You would get Jack Tatum taking people. Of course, if you get Jack Tatum, you're going to get Jack Tatum, and he's not going to want to abide by today's rules. So you're going to get Jack Tatum, who's going to get kicked out of a lot of games.
That would send a message. That would be an adjustment for the first receiver in modern times to get adjusted to that. Neither one would be in the game after a play, but it would be fun to watch. Hold on one sec here. All right. I actually had a little bit of fun with this. This is actually something I'd wanted to talk about over time, and I wanted to figure out a way to wedge it in here. So my choice was Nick Bosa as a senior. The year he got injured. Oh, he was a junior. Incorrect. And let me tell you why. I think a lot of people forget this. He only played 3 games and change, and he got hurt. Statistically, this is the first time, for purposes of this show, this is a sign of the times, I used AI to help me with this. So I said to Mr. AI, had Nick Bosa been healthy for his entire junior season, give me his statistical output. Now, you also have to take into account that when Nick played, the playoffs were a tad different. So this is extrapolated over a 16-game season. You can do that. I had it first do it over a 14-game projection. So do you think that's a fair statistical projection if we're modernizing Mr. Nick?
I do, and without looking at it, I'm not looking it up. I'm trying to remember because he got hurt in that TCU game. I remember thinking even he was tearing it up. I think even without his production early in that TCU game, I wonder if they win. Didn't he have like 7 sacks or something in like 2.5 games?
His rate was ridiculous. Okay, he actually changed. So had he played 14 games, he would have finished with 19 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, 9 fumble recoveries, and 5 defensive touchdowns. Now, that's a little bit of an extrapolation because touchdowns are a little bit freakish and fumble recoveries as well. And shocker, without asking, AI did a more realistic champion season estimate because elite pass rushers usually see some aggression as opponents' game plan, double teams increase. Playoff teams have stronger defensive lines.
Chase Young. Sorry.
So that's actually figured into this, by the way.
Because it looked like Chase Young was going to have like 25 sacks that year that he set the record. Like, and he still had a great year.
So
according to this, he was the number 2 pick of the draft. And people were actually wondering, should the Bengals take Chase Young over Joe Burrow? That was an actual, like, the Bengals never went down that road. But, like, people were actually wondering. So I don't want to bash on Chase Young, but it does remind me of that, how he kind of tailed off toward the end of that season.
He did, and it was still a record-setting season. I think what I was trying to say is also, I think Bosa was better in a limited sample size. This is kind of how we're having fun with this in the offseason, and I'm in charge, which is fun. So If you project him over 16 games, he would have had 32 tackles for loss. The all-time Ohio State record is 24 by Ryan Shazier. He would have had 21 sacks. The all-time record is 16 and a half by Chase Young. 5 forced fumbles. Chase would still have the record for forced fumbles at 6, which lets you know how awesome that is. 11 fumble recoveries and 5 defensive touchdowns, which is unrealistic. But to me, if you could get a guy that's going to break Ohio State's sack record, challenge the TFL record, and put him squarely in conversation with the best defensive seasons ever, I will take a healthy Nick Bosa. If you put a healthy Nick Bosa opposite Kenyatta Jackson, you're going to get two guys picked in the first round because Kenyatta's going to be going against a tight end all year. That would be, to me, the guy I would take. I also considered, I'm for the record, I think you had to consider Orlando Pace, obviously. Just not sexy enough to take an offensive lineman. I also figured Bosa gets you 2 to 3 possessions a game. You didn't think you were going to get in scoring position, so that'll make up for the fact that our offensive line's not as good as it would be with Orlando Pace. The rest of it, I'll tell you what was impressive. I couldn't make an argument to change the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Normally, if you're doing this for your NFL team, besides yours, you would just pick the best quarterback they've ever had of all time and run with it. But I don't think the gap's big enough that I wouldn't make a move somewhere else. I thought about bringing Caleb Downs back. I just don't think that's impactful enough. The idea of every single passing situation having the most elite defensive end getting to the quarterback ever at Ohio State by his senior year statistics is the guy I'd use. Perhaps I'm dealing with post-Miami stress disorder and their defensive ends of Akeem Mezador and the guy that has short arms. But I think I'll go Nick Bosa.
I'm going Orlando Pace.
There you go.
I didn't need to think too hard about it because you look at what he did, and he was durable. Guy didn't miss a snap. And he was durable in the NFL too. I don't know if we're really putting that into consideration. I mean, he came in from day one and started at left tackle, never missed a start. They even played him a defensive tackle here a little bit, you know, a goal line situation to throw a big Orlando Pace in there. You know, Eddie George doesn't get the Heisman without Orlando Pace. Orlando Pace is the last Ohio State player to go number one overall in the draft. Maybe Jeremiah will change that. Probably not, because someone's going to reach on a quarterback like Dante Moore. If I'm a team, I take the best player in the draft, and that's Jeremiah Smith. But we know how quarterbacks are. Before Orlando Pace would be the number one pick of the draft. And if we are factoring in NFL, he was a hell of a good NFL player. He's in Hall of Famer. He won a Super Bowl. Again, he was durable as heck in the NFL. I think he was a 7-time Pro Bowler or something like that. And this isn't Pro Bowl like Shedeur Sanders, you know, where they go down to the 8th, you know, alternate. Like, he was the man, like, you know, all pros really the what is, you know, a high achievement for an NFL player when they do, like, first-team all-pro, which he was for, like, every year. He was 4th. His final year at Ohio State in 96, he was 4th for the Heisman. Finished 4th for the Heisman. Lombardi, Outland, all that minor stuff. Finished 4th for the Heisman as a left tackle. And Pepe Pearson had a really good year that year because of the offensive line. You look at Pepe Pearson, he was a junior that year. Really good year, over 1,000 yards per carry. And then next year, 97, he's a senior. His numbers took a hit. I wonder why. And listen, I'm bullish on the offensive line this year, but man, you put Orlando Pace at left tackle. Tell you what, there wouldn't be a debate of whether or not Austin Sarrivelt's moving to the right side, huh? I mean, you put Orlando Pace in there next to Luke Montgomery, Carson Hensman, Austin Sarrivelt, bam, Philip Daniels, or, you know, if they deem that Gabe Van Sickle's the best, you know, he's one of the top five, you could put Gabe at right guard and put Austin at right tackle. But man, having Orlando Pace in there, just shutting down. Because you mentioned the Miami game. Imagine having Orlando Pace against Reuben Bain. He wouldn't have done anything. He wouldn't have done anything unless he moved to the other side. Then he might have. Orlando just shuts you down. I'll never forget it. Eddie's Heisman year, that Illinois game where Eddie set the record that now is owned by Trey Sermon. I never saw that coming. If anybody was going to break Eddie's single game rushing record, it would be Trey Sermon. But I remember Orlando Pace running down the field almost like – yard for yard with Eddie George blocking down the field after he took his man off, like, you know, out at the line of scrimmage. So having Orlando Pace back, I mean, think about all that. You're a left tackle. You're the number one overall pick of the draft, and it turns out that was a great pick by the Rams. You finished fourth for the Heisman. Previous year, you basically get your running back the Heisman. Just unbelievable. And that 94 team with Orlando Pace and Corey Stringer on the same line, I mean, that was good business. And I don't know, man. That's where I'm going is Orlando Pace. I know we had somebody in the chat. I've kind of stopped looking at the chat as I was on my diatribe there, but we have one person who agrees with me there on YouTube. Jay Gracie 22, the answer is always Orlando Pace. Again, this, we're having fun here. There's no wrong answers here. Like Dan makes, I mean, Nick Bosa, how great would that be? Like, one of the biggest questions of the offseason for me is who's going to be that starting defensive end opposite Kenyatta? There wouldn't be a question there. So that would be awesome. I mean, even Joey Bosa would be great. I thought about Sean Spring. Some of these guys are just like, we're absolute studs at Ohio State. And we're taken super early in the draft. And like, Sean Springs was a number three overall pick of the draft. Another guy, one of my favorite Buckeyes of all time is Antoine Winfield. Dude was calling him small is not fair because he was rocked up. Short corner who led the team in tackles with over 100. Because he would just come in and just dart in from nowhere and just take you out. I loved Antoine Winfield. There's so many we could pick. Even if we went back, you know, years ago, how about Vic Janowitz? I know, going back to like, you know, the 30s or whatever. But, yeah, I'm going Orlando Pace.
Vic might struggle with the team speed. I don't think there's any argument if you were to have a poll and we took every Ohio State fan with at least a decent historical knowledge that the best player to play at Ohio State, when you take all that into account, is Orlando Pace. I don't think anyone would argue that. Like you said, best player at his position, unquestionably, you know, freakish things like Heisman vote, left tackle on a team that built a dynasty, first ballot Hall of Famer. There really isn't much more you can do than that. So in terms of how good he was, that's true. I will say this. Nick Bosa was the second pick in the draft. He was NFL defensive MVP, best player on a team that went to the Super Bowl. So he had his moment, but I wouldn't attempt to argue historically anyone against Orlando Pace for the squad.
Durability would factor in a little bit. Because Nick's not
that's
just
why I, hold on a sec. That's why I had the preconceived stat of assuming they're healthy.
Assuming they're healthy, right? Yeah, exactly. Like
for the Boses, you'd have to do that for both of them. Those guys are finely tuned athletes, but they do tend to get nicked.
Even at least in their Joey stayed healthy during his Ohio State career.
Joey did,
but Nick obviously
he's
missed.
Always been,
and Nick's got always, banged up in the NFL.
I'm saying he's always been a little bit nicked upable.
Whereas Orlando Pace, I'll have to go back and look. Did he even miss a game? He never missed a game at Ohio State ever. Started from day one at left tackle as a true freshman. Never missed a game.
I'm pretty sure
Orlando Pace is the NFL either. Maybe he did.
I'm pretty sure Orlando Pace is on the NFL's All Century team.
I mean, how could he not be? How many offensive linemen have been the number one overall pick of the draft? Like, and he was. I was 99.9% sure on this, but I did look it up before the show. Like, Orlando was the last Ohio State player to be taken number one overall. Yes, he was. Although AI did tell me, unless you mean basketball, then Greg Oden would be the last one. Like, no, yeah, I mean football. We're a football school. All right. In case anybody didn't know that. Predator.
Well, they know, Dave.
Chase Young.
But I can show you the traffic numbers, Dave. They know.
All right, let's get to this. Okay, now there's a chance. So Oregon lost both of their coordinators, okay? Their offensive coordinator is now the head coach at Kentucky. Their defensive coordinator is now the head coach at Cal. And I think both of those guys were good hires by those respective schools. So I think depending on how their replacements do, I think that could be big losses for Oregon. And I'm kind of surprised Oregon didn't go outside the program. What they did was they promoted Drew Maringer. He was the tight ends coach to offensive coordinator. And Chris Hampton, who's one of the best recruiters in the country. It reminds me of like a DB version of Brian Hartline almost a little bit. Not quite to that level. That Brian, I think, no matter the position, Brian Hartline was the best of the best. One of one. But Chris Hampton kind of reminds me of that. All-star recruiter, done a great job bringing DBs to Oregon. Their NIL, I'm sure, helps the cause. but he's never coordinated a defense before. This will be his first time doing it. Mehringer has coordinated an offense before, but it was at Rutgers under Chris Ash. If you remember how that glorious era of Rutgers football with Chris Ash there for 2 years. So he at least has experience calling plays, but Oregon is promoted from within. And we know how important the coordinator positions are. Meanwhile, Ohio State retains Matt Patricia, paying him nearly $4 million a year, $3.75 million a year, and I love it. I think he's worth every penny. He bring in Arthur Smith, two former NFL head coaches. I know I'm not breaking news here, but I'm trying to set this up. And, like, when I read national stories, I don't want to say it's lazy when I see people say, oh, Oregon's going to be the next in line. It's now their turn because it went some school up north, and then Ohio State, then Indiana. Now it's Oregon's turn, right? Because they got a better quarterback, Dan Lanning. You know, I don't hear anybody say, and I'm sure people have said it, is there some concern here that they have, like, a guy that's never coordinated a defense before and a guy that hasn't coordinated an offense in a while? When he did, it was Rutgers, when they were one of the worst offenses in the country. Like, I don't hear anybody bring that up as a concern with Oregon. And by the way, Dante Moore, great young man, very talented. I thought he was, like, inconsistent as heck last year. And I see a lot of people saying he's going to be the number one overall pick of the draft, and maybe he will be. I think this is a bigger concern than people are – I know I'm an Ohio State guy saying this, but I think this is a bigger concern than what a lot of national scribes are making it out to be. And I don't think enough people are putting, you know, enough validity on Ohio State doing what they did at their coordinator positions. But I don't know. I want to get your take on that, Dan. I mean, I think Dan Lanning is a good head coach, but now he's got two basically rookie coordinators that he's breaking in at the exact same time. I think that could hurt Oregon this year.
Yeah, I think the media is – it's funny to crack on the media here when we are part of the media.
Other part of the media, right?
I think the media is just in love with Dan Lanning. They love the interviews. They love the gusto. When was the last big game Oregon won again? No, seriously, I'm asking
you. I mean, like, I guess, like,
off the top of your head.
Regular season against Ohio State, I guess. I don't know.
When was that?
Yeah, 2024. Yeah.
I'm not even kidding.
I know.
And that was a huge game, and they won. Ohio State then played them again. I'm not really sure how that game went. I'm pretty sure they got some revenge there. I think Dan Lanning is actually the guy that should be the national next under pressure guy. I don't hear that as much, but I heard a lot about Ryan Day. I heard a ton about Ryan Day. I don't hear it about Dan Lanning. I'm being serious about this. I think Lanning has just – he is that – these guys go to interview him, and they go to talk and write about him, and they're just intimidated, or they have a crush on him or something, because they don't lay out the facts. I will say this. Oregon recruits like we do.
Right.
If you want to say someone who is legitimately recruiting at the exact same level, I understand what I'm saying there. It hurt to say it. Okay, they are recruiting at the same level of Ohio State. That's a fact. Now, what you do with that talent is then becomes, like you said, the quest of the coaching staff. There's no way to compare the coaching staffs. I'm sorry.
I know.
There's just no way. You would have to have a philosophical difference in how you evaluate. And then you may be able to say, oh, they're young. They have fresh ideas. Oh, they were their continuity. Fine, but we're not doing this based on experience, track record, resume. You're not using any of that if you're saying that Oregon's coaching staff is as good as Ohio State's. So, I mean, I could even get into – I've even been thinking about how Ohio State, their assistants are – you can make an argument – are at an all-time apex. Now, there is a few that you might want to take a look at, but Larry Johnson – this is – someone needs to write a book about this. When I took over here 15 years ago, people were talking about that Larry Johnson is going to retire because he's too old. Every single person and coach who said that is gone. He is still here. And by the way, the number one defensive lineman in the country is currently verbally committed to Ohio State. So,
and he looks younger every time. I saw Larry – I covered my first Ohio State recruiting camp in forever. I was out there with Garrick on Thursday. Mark Porter was out there. I saw Larry Johnson, went up and talked to him for a minute, and the man looks younger every time I see him. Like, yeah, as I said a few years ago, Dan, I'm not in the business anymore of predicting when Larry Johnson's going to step away. He'll step away whenever the heck he wants. You're right, though. Larry Johnson.
Lachlan.
I mean, Locklear, I mean, James Laurinaitis, best linebackers coach in the country. I'm convinced of that, recruiting everything. I love the tandem of Tim Walton and Matt Guerrieri with the DBs. Love. You know, we'll see about Hankton. You know, we'll see about giant Scotty Scheffler, as I call him, the O-line coach. But everybody, Lachlan.
Lachlan, yeah. I mean, keep in mind, Lachlan is also possibly on the verge of his biggest commitment ever if he gets Davey Gabriel Georges.
Yes.
And that doesn't go anywhere. Cortez Hankton, my advice to him, get really, really, really close to Jet Harrison. Just get so close to him so that Jet's like, no Cortez, no Jet. Then you'll have Cortez in Ohio State. That's what I would do if I were him. He's not going to be able to ever match what the South Florida head coach did, and that's no slight. It was literally the greatest run in the history of recruiting at any position. That's someone's senior thesis at Ohio State. Work on that. Dave and I will serve as the bibliography, help you out. I actually believe that with every fiber of my being. That was legendary. Keep in mind also, the guy who's going to end up being one of the better ones hasn't even been good in the pros yet, possibly Jet's older brother. Getting back to Oregon, I don't see how it's comparable. Now, I guess if they kick butt the whole year and win, you would have an argument for it. I just don't see how – what really matters is recruiting. And if you were – just ask yourself this question. Would you rather send your kid to play for – assuming, like we are, every player that goes to Oregon and Ohio State, every single one thinks they're going to the NFL. That we agree on. Every single one. From the very top of the roster to the very bottom snapper, they think they're going to the league. I would certainly want to play for, you know, Ryan Day, by the way, where'd he come from? The league, okay? He did not come from the staff. And then the track record and the head coaching experience, what Patricia has done, three guys drafted in the top 11. When was the last time a defensive coordinator had that? So every guy's coming here to get to the league and to get paid. We pay everybody, and then we have the best preparation to get paid a second time, and you're going to win the most games. I got to see it. Like you said, I'm not a Dan Lanning guy until he gets it done on the big stage. And that I think it's cool too when the guy comes out and he can't breathe because he's so fired up. Yay. The important thing is to win. And I don't get the sense that Oregon feels more piecemeal in recruiting than us. I still think the fact that we use Ohio as our base, it seems more philosophically sound. Now, they do have some great players. You mentioned their defensive backs are incredible. And Brandon Finney was a true freshman last year, was arguably the best defensive back in the country. So yeah, they know what they're doing. But at this level, you got to put them in the right spots. So I just to wrap it up, I definitely feel more confident about Ohio State than I would Oregon. And the coaching staff is a big reason for that.
It's just so huge. And we've seen it. I mean, we could talk about our NFL teams, like with the different coordinators that have made a huge difference and the ones that have like made the team go the other way. But let's just look at Ohio State. Let's just look at Ohio State. So like, 2023, you know, Brian Hartline was, you know, he was offensive coordinator name only, really. I mean, Ryan, they didn't even try and pretend like Brian Hartline was calling plays that year. And the offense struggled in 2023. Bringing Chip Kelly, 2024, not that everything was perfect, obviously, but they ended up winning the national championship. What happens last year? Brian Hartline was calling plays for some of the year. Some people think he was calling all the plays. I was told Ryan Day had to step in and was calling, you know, most of the plays in big games. And Ohio State, yeah, the offense was good, but it was one of the worst offenses in the country in red zone as far as scoring touchdowns in the red zone, short yardage, fourth down, everything like that. I mean, they just struggled in all those categories when they were excellent in those categories in 2024. Now, we'll see. I'm convinced Art Smith, and I think you are too, Dan, was a grand slam hire. Some people don't have that same feeling, but as we like to say, we'll find out. Hopefully we don't have to F around, but we're going to find out. Like, and same thing with Patricia last year. It reminds me of that. Everybody now acknowledges Patricia was a great hire. Last year at this time, a lot of people still were skeptical. Some people were more than skeptical, even like local media here in Columbus, not a majority, a vocal minority were saying, oh, what a terrible hire. What a terrible fit. Da, 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 da. Look at him now. So I think, and you look at how important it is especially for Oregon losing their offensive coordinator, because Dan Lanning's, you know, his background's defense, so that might mitigate it a little bit. But even with Ryan Day, his background's offense, and his offense struggled a little bit when he had to have Brian Hartline as his offensive coordinator. So I think that's going to hurt Oregon. That being said, I understand they're very talented. Our guy, Bill Connolly, who does a great job with ESPN. Not Bill Connolly, the former Ohio State coach, but Bill Connolly at ESPN, came up with SP Plus. That's kind of the metric that is being widely used, and rightfully so. He has Ohio State number one in the country in SP Plus. He's got Oregon number two, but they're like, you know, 3 points below Ohio State. So he's very high on Ohio State, and that takes into consideration everything. But he does have Oregon number two. So I'm not acting like Oregon's not going to be good this year. They're going to be very good. But I see a lot of people having them number one in the country. And I'm thinking, okay, we'll see. I like Ohio State's roster better. Again, like you were saying, Dan, Oregon's got a really good roster too. They're recruiting on our level. But I see a clear difference in coaching staff, especially at the coordinator level.
The Art Smith thing, I understand that people may look at his NFL track record and be like, I don't know, or even Patricia, his NFL track record. Make sure you use the word NFL, though, when you say that. The idea that NFL football is not more complicated and difficult than college football, that's not true. Although it doesn't make any sense. So it doesn't mean any NFL coach could just come down and be a guaranteed success in college. But they are very much overqualified. We said this about Matt Patricia. They are overqualified. No matter what you think of Ohio State, the NFL is the NFL. I mean, it's the toughest league in the world, okay? Anything. So that part I don't understand in terms of people being concerned. Maybe you'd have to really know schematic football to have issues with Art Smith at this point. I don't see it. I also think we saw what it did the year for Matt Patricia. One of the reasons people didn't like Matt Patricia is the lasting vision of him was an overweight, clueless guy in Detroit as a befuddled head coach. He came here. He lost many pounds. He was supposed to be a prickly guy. He's arguably the most cherubic, nicest guy to the media ever at Ohio State. Have you ever seen an interview with Matt Patricia? Can anyone produce one where he's even slightly negative or looks slightly stressed? I haven't seen that. I think what happened is Ryan Day realized what the opportunity was and did it. And keep in mind, we've all talked about this in a global sense. The college football has turned to pro football. You're paying everybody now. It's a much different scene. All we talk about is how college is turning to pros. Well, where would you then go to get the people to run the show? The pros. So I think what's going to happen, I think more likely than people promoting from within like Dan Lanning, I think what you're going to get is, you know, you can make an argument that what Ryan Day is a kind of a glorification or the next step in what Nick Saban did in the rehab process for soon to be or want to be head coaches in college and guys who had some NFL experience. Now we've taken it to the next level. Art Smith, Matt Patricia, I'm not saying they're going to head on to the NFL, but the idea that you could come and be a defensive coordinator, get paid, hello, relatively similar to the way you used to. They're not taking a massive pay cut. Are they getting paid like NFL coaches? No. Are they missing a meal because of their salary? No. And also, Matt Patricia went from coaching the Detroit Lions, head coach of a team that was talent poor every time they went out there, to being the defensive coordinator, meaning he doesn't have all the overarching responsibilities. And when you take the field, by the way, 99% of the time, you're going to be a lot better than the team you're playing against. Hence, three picks in the top 11. So I think Ohio State's almost a trailblazer in this case, and Dan Lanning will see that. Should he still be employed at Oregon when that takes place? Because I do think the media is going to turn on him at some point if he does not come through here. He's kind of you could put him in the group with Steve Sarkisian and who else here, guys who are the next ones that there's going to be some real natty pressure on. So Yeah. Lanning to me is kind of a paper tiger until they pull it off, and hence anything below him, I would say the same. Plus, I've heard also that Tosh Lupoi was a very, very big part of their operation. He's moved on to Cal to be the head coach. I think that's a pretty big loss for them. So we shall see.
And that's the thing. Like, Lanning struggled in big games when he had those guys. And maybe Drew Mehringer. Mehringer. Is it Mehringer? Yeah, probably Mehringer. Mehringer. Drew Mehringer.
Mehringer. I hardly knew her.
Mehringer. Yes. Mehringer. Drew Mehringer. Maybe he'll prove to be a great offensive coordinator. He'll be an upgrade.
Maybe.
And, you know, maybe Chris Hampton. But, like, you're right. I mean, Lanning struggled when he had really good coordinators. Now he's going to be breaking in two new coordinators the same year, and this is going to be the year. We'll see. Let me get you out of here on this. I know everybody wants to know what's the latest with David Gabriel Georges. How we feeling? Feeling pretty good. We feeling pretty good, Dan?
Yes. I would say better than pretty good. I'm going to have to look at my computer here because the name is going to escape me, but Ohio State just offered one of his teammates, and someone said, oh, they offered one of his teammates to get him. You're GD right. I mean, let's hope they did. This is that kind of guy. Hold on a sec. Let me pull this up here. They offered a close friend of David Gabriel Georges. You know he's a close friend when the headline of the story, the term close friend comes before your own name. David Gabriel Georges, 2027 safety. Jordan Darren Gila Shisu, Darren spelled correctly, I might add.
Look at Mika. Mika's all over it. Look at Mika.
Yeah, that. I hope you had spell check on that. Anyone who wants to try and Jordan Darren.
Mika knows her stuff.
Jordan Darren is pretty much two of the better names you're going to have in the vernacular. And then go from there. I didn't say it out loud, John. David Gabriel Georges. So they're up against Tennessee for those who are still playing. I just can't believe that they've gone this far. And anything you would say like, oh, it's going to be NIL and stuff, that stuff's already been handled. This is Ohio State has dialed in on this guy. There's no variables left. I'm pretty confident that he will be a Buckeye. And then you were talking about next year having Bo Jackson and David Gabriel Georges in the same backfield. And I want to be the first one to say it. You're going to get chatter of, is this the greatest two-man backfield they've ever had talent-wise? Because you're going to get
– they will be a sophomore.
Junior year Bo Jackson, dude, after 3 years, the third year as a starter, he's already, I've heard, looks like a terror. What's he going to be next year?
Have you seen Legend Bay? We'll have a little. It's not just about Legend Bay.
I gotta see that one
in the boarding house today. Legend Bay. He was like, because a lot of the Ohio State players were there milling around like during the camps. Legend Bay is jacked, dude.
Saw him with your eyes.
He is jacked. Yes.
Because the picture almost looks doctored by Mr. AI.
Oh, you saw? Okay, you saw a picture of it. Oh, yeah. He looks jacked.
Listen, some guys get – this is absolutely true. Some guys get to Ohio State largely on their physical abilities and never really trained. I'll put really in air quotes. No one just walked their way in here. But sometimes the Mick gets a hold of a guy, and the first 6 months you're like, holy cow, proper nutrition and sleep – and monitoring, and you take these guys who were werewolves and turn them into like superhumans. If Legend Bay's picture was not AI, AI needs to be redone. AI needs to be better then.
I can't speak on the picture because I haven't seen it, but like that you're speaking of, but he looks great. He looks like he's been like just shadowing Jeremiah Smith. Mm. I've said this before, when the best player on your team, a household name across the country, is your hardest worker. Can you imagine a better message to send to the rest of the team than that? Like, if you're a coach, that's just a dream. Like, you don't have to be like, well, you know, like everybody try to work hard, but Jeremiah's, you know, he's the best player, but he kind of mails it in a little bit. It's the exact opposite. Like, talk to anybody on, there's not even a debate. You talk to the players, they're like, oh yeah, JJ's the, they all call him JJ. Like, yeah, oh yeah, JJ's the hardest worker on the team. That's such a great example. I mean, having just those guys that work hard are great examples. When it's your best player out of 105 guys, that's freaking awesome. And it seems like these guys, and we're singling out two guys like JJ and Legend Bay. There's a bunch of guys over there that are looking good, so that are putting in extra work. You're not here, you know, Dan, you don't hear anymore. What's wrong with Mickey Marotti? Should he retire? Is it game passed him by? Dave, don't hear that, do you?
You brought up a great point there. I think Jeremiah may have control of the name Jeremiah. Meaning, if you're on the show Password, and you're like, Michael? Right. What is everyone going to say? Jordan? He's like, if you right now in the United States said Jeremiah, I think the number one answer would be Smith.
Yeah, if he was a soccer player in the World Cup right now, he could just have Brazil. Just have Jeremiah on the back.
He'd have to be Brazilian, but they take him. Believe me, if he's got any roots in Brazil, they take him for the soccer team right now, and he doesn't even play soccer. But think about that. I'm trying, you can't say Nick or Joey. Someone say something else. You couldn't say what?
Could how you
say?
Doing?
Julian? No.
Julian Lennon? No.
Exactly. Go to Google. That's the test I have for my kids when I say, oh, this happened then. They're like, that didn't happen. I'm like, go to Google and type in the first word. If the next word isn't what I say it's going to be, then it's not popular. And they do it, and then they defer. But, yeah, that's impressive. Totally. Has anyone ever had that before at Ohio State? You got to have – I'll tell you who's going to have one. Legend.
Orlando. You said Orlando. Back in the 90s, everybody
would be like – You don't think anyone said Magic?
Eddie.
Murphy.
Oh, that's true.
It's the first one Zeke. I'm talking about. Zeke. The blush. Zeke Thomas, Isaiah's nickname, maybe. But you're right. Ezekiel might work better because that's obscurity helps, obviously.
Well, you might think of the Pulp Fiction, the fake Bible line that Pete Hedzik thought was real.
don't start that.
He thought the state, by the way, Sam Jackson should have won an Academy Award for his.
Royale with cheese.
Oh my gosh, so good. Royale with cheese. Yeah, but
think about that.
Check out the big brains on Brad. There's so many. Just I'll have a burger to this day. If I bite into a burger and it's decent, but this is a tasty burger.
That's a good one. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. That had it. I would agree, but I think over time, keep in mind, you just named a song that I think came out in the 60s. So think about that. And I think Jeremiah has kind of stolen the spotlight in that respect, but that's a good one. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Nah, I don't think so. I'm going to go with Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, I like that. All right, good way to close the show there. All right, and if we're having the discussion in a few years from now, what player would you like to see on this year's team?
Jeremiah Smith?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. Oh, I apologize. Early 70s, but you did digress briefly. That's got to be what, pre-73 or 73 or earlier. Jeremiah could go in the NFL and wear Jeremiah on his jersey, and no one would say a word.
Love it. Great stuff from Dan. This was a fun show. Thanks to everybody out there for tuning in. We appreciate you guys very much. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day, and go Bucks.
Streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Chicago, it's my home.
The acclaimed series The Chi reaches its final chapter.
This The Chi. Anything's possible.
The Chi, the final season now streaming only on Paramount Plus.